I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to put my watch there. Paul Charbonneau just reminded me of what this really means when you do that. Absolutely nothing. But I'll try to keep my eyes on that a little bit. I'm from the generation that has some wonderful songs about love. And many of you will know some of these. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? I think that's by The Doors. There was another one I remember. I didn't know what to do, so I said, I love you. There's another one, too. One of my first records I ever bought was a 45. I'm older than you think, probably. But it was a 45 by The Troggs, Wild Thing. You probably know that. Well, the flip side of that, that 45 had a song on it. I love you so much, I can't control myself. So I'm brought up in a generation that has some very different views of what love is truly about. Well, in 1 John, we find that the gospel writer there, John, is truly captivated by this idea of the love of God, that God loves us. And if you're reading through the Gospel of John, it's the same author, you get this sense that he's captivated by the love that God has for him. One of the things that I think is very significant in that Gospel, how John always refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. And I love that because I think it's just his way of highlighting the love that Jesus had for him. Obviously, we know Jesus loved all the disciples. But he likes to refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He loves just to bask in that great truth. The church community that John is writing to in Asia Minor may have been Ephesus, we don't know for sure, was struggling with alternate views of God and his love, probably in the form of Gnosticism. And as Bishop Trevor Walter spoke to the clergy, I think it was on our clergy day, that Gnosticism is really still alive today in our world. So I think this is very significant, what John has to say for us. He writes to expose false teachers and to give assurance to believers of their relationship with God. He does this by challenging his recipients to a number of tests. The first few verses in chapter 4, he talks about testing the spirits. And here in this passage, he goes on to give some tests for their faith and love in order to see if it's genuine. And I'm sort of half in sermon mode and half in Bible study, so if you'd like to follow this in your Bible, you can. The basic structure is there's the source of God's love and the nature of his love, then the fruits of his love and the relational application of that. In verse 7, we hear about the source of love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So God is the source of all love. I believe that even for non-believers, they're created in the image of God. They have that capacity to love because we're created in God's image. All love comes from God. Verse 9, the proof of God's love. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world. That God took the initiative in this, sending his own Son as an atoning sacrifice. Verse 10, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And of course, that's contra the Gnostics, who would not have accepted that. This knowledge of love, God's love for us, is not based on a philosophical speculation, but it's based on the historic event of Jesus, or God sending his Son into the world. So there's a sure foundation for this relationship. Verse 12, the astounding claim, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Verse 13, we know we live in him and he in us because of his Spirit, the Spirit in us. And verse 14 and 15, we can be assured of God's indwelling presence if we acknowledge Jesus is God's Son. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son, God lives in him and he in God. And I was reading C.H. Dodd says he feels this is the high watermark of the whole epistle. If we acknowledge Jesus Christ, that's the evidence of the indwelling presence of God within us. And verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And I like that. We rely on the love that God has for us. I know early in my Christian experience, I had the fear that maybe this idea of the love of God, that is that just for the weak and those that are insecure? But in Scripture, it's so central to everything that we do. John, he's a pretty tough guy. Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, calls him one of the sons of thunder. There must have been a good reason for that. But he had this deep hunger for the love of God. King David, we know as well, too. He was a man's man, if there ever one was one, but he was deeply in need of the love of God on a daily basis, knowing his love for him, and he rejoiced in that. And I know for me, I don't compare myself to those two, but I know when I wake up in the morning, I usually feel like cold mashed potatoes. You know, I'm always a little depressed when I wake up in the morning, but spending some time to meditate on the love that God has for me is very powerful. Second half of verse 16, God is love. It's his essence. It's not reversible in some New Age thought. God is love, but we don't say love is God. Elsewhere in this epistle, John says that God is spirit, 1 John 4:24, that he is light, 1 John 1:5. But here he says God is love. It's intrinsic to his nature, or it is his nature indeed. Then the fruits of love, verses 17 and 18, the fruits of God's love. I'm always amazed, or I love hearing the stories of people's lives that have been touched by the transforming love of God. And I just brought one of these. It's a very short one, but it's one of my favorite. It was on CBC Radio 5 years ago. The prisons in the Canadian province of Quebec enforce a ban on smoking. No cigarettes. The inmates have resorted to creative solutions. In place of tobacco, some use a mixture of tea leaves and a residue from the nicotine gum provided to help smokers to help kick their addiction. You know, they have easy access to Bibles, you see. The concoction is rolled up in a page of the Bible. The Bible is used because those pages reportedly burn slower than normal paper. An inmate named Robert told reporters, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke, and when I got to John, I read about how God loves me. Now I don't smoke because now I'm a Christian. What a glorious story. And I love hearing stories about lives being touched by the love of God. You may know, too, that many people, sort of religious people, base their have fallen into that trap of believing their acceptance and their love of God is based on what they do. But we know it's through the work of Christ that we have this confidence. I love it in Hebrews 10, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So God takes the initiative. That's important for us to realize as well. You'll know too, there are many people that are hurting and beaten up in this world. And knowing that he first loved us is very powerful. I love that song. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would choose his only, or he would take his only son and make a wretch his treasure. I think that's right. I love that. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And also in the third section, verses 19 to 21, the implications of living in love. John provides a test. The test is, do we love our brother or sister? I read somewhere that living in a Christian community is a bit of a challenge. We all know that. But it's kind of like a bunch of porcupines. Maybe you've heard this before. A bunch of porcupines out in the cold. As it gets cold, they huddle together to keep warm. But the closer they get to one another, they start to sort of prick each other and poke one another. So they move apart again, and then they get cold, and it goes back and forth. And I think that's a good picture of sometimes what it's like in the Christian community. So there are struggles, but we're told in this passage that the real test of our love for God is, do we love our brother or sister? And John doesn't mince words about this. He says, if we say we love God but don't love our brother, we're a liar. We're a liar. Now, if it was me, I would say, well, we're on a journey still, or something. We're in process. But John says, no, if we say we love God but don't love our brother, we're a liar. And I wanted to stress again, too, these are tests that he gives us to give us confidence that our love is genuine. He's not saying, well, we need to start loving our brother so that we can be loved by God more. No, he's saying it's the other way around. We're testing our relationship with God to know if it's genuine. The message, again, just in summary, is fairly clear. We know God loves us because he gave his only son to die for us. We can know we are in relationship with God if we acknowledge and trust in Jesus Christ, his son. And we have this further assurance that we're born of God because we have this love for the brethren. And I wanted to close by a joke I saw a while ago. It was in Leadership magazine. If you look at Leadership, it has great cartoons in there. And one of my favorite ones is it has a picture of this kind of a cynical looking preacher up in the pulpit, and he's looking down at the congregation and pointing, and he says, "Yes, Jesus loves you, but don't let it go to your head," like this. And I think the truth is we need the love of Jesus to go to our head, to go to our heart. That's so important for us. That's the basis of our security in our relationship with God. That's our motivation for evangelism, all our service into this broken world. So I think this is vitally important. I encourage you to look at this passage and to be captivated anew by God's love for you. And please bow your head. I'll just say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love that is vast beyond all measure. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know afresh the height, the depth, the breadth of your love. Lord, that we would be transformed anew and be effective in ministering your name to this broken world in which we live. In Jesus' name. Amen.